All right, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, let me read our foundation scripture and recap a little bit. I'm teaching you on how to reap your harvest. Now, here's the challenge. See, a while ago, you know, I love to preach, and preaching is exhorting and, you know, getting you excited about things, but it's very challenging for any minister or preacher if he's teaching when the people aren't shouting and saying amen. But, you know, we have to let the dust settle, because we don't want to just be people of God that feed off just emotional things. Now, it's great to be on an emotional high. But, you know, whatever goes up comes down. So when everything is said and done, what's going to sustain us? It's going to be the Word of God. Amen? And so we want to have a great time in here. We want to go out of here full of joy and full of excitement about the things of God. But we still have to let the Word of God just be, if you will, let it come inside of us and become part of us, where we can, you know how to face any situation, any problem, anything. We're talking about how to reap our harvest. And I the Lord just instructed me. Now, normally I don't do this. I go off in something else on Wednesday, because people on Sunday, you know, don't all come on Wednesday and so on and so forth. But there's something here that the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to do. And He's wanting to take us into this area, because it is time for us to get up and reap our harvest. And as I have been sharing with you, there are, if you will, rules for harvest. Now, we don't try to come up with formulas again. We're not saying do step A, step B, step C. But I'm teaching you specifically on the qualities of a successful harvester. How many of you want to be successful in every area of your life? There's people that have learned to be successful in one area, and maybe they're deficient in other areas. I believe that Jesus can make us complete. We are complete, the Bible says, in Him. And so we need a balanced diet. You know, it's just not all, you know, hot fudge sundaes and banana splits. Sometime we got to eat the cabbage and the peas and the broccoli and the asparagus. Come on, somebody. Because we need all of the counsel of God. And when the Spirit of God is moving, like He's been moving, and the Spirit of God is wanting our receptors to open up where we can receive these things, then I believe that He's got something waiting for us on the horizon. It's there. It's already been provided for. Now, we've got to go out there and take what God has given to us. The kingdom of God suffers what? Violence. In other words, there is the opposition to what we're after. Jesus has come to give us the life, and life abundant, or a full life. And so you and I, we're living here until we go on into the next life, or the life that leaves this earth. But while we're here, we want to receive everything that God has for us. Every precious promise that God has. Everything pertaining to life, and talking about the natural realm, and everything according to the spiritual realm. I don't want to come behind in any good thing that God has for my life. And so, here in the Gospel of Mark, let me read this foundation scripture and just kind of recap here, and then we'll get into some of these things and just take it as far as we can go tonight. It says, talking about the kingdom of God, verse 26. Let me read this scripture to you. It says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the seed yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, now look at this, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now let me give you a test again. Let me see what you've learned. First of all, we have to be motivated when you're studying something like this. And we have to have our hearts right. We have to have our motives pure. And we have to really receive a revelation of why God has called us to be the head and not the tail. To be the lender and not the bar. To be above and not beneath. And we have to be motivated, first of all, because what are we in this for? Why did we become a Christian? Just so we could go to heaven? If that's all there was to Christianity, then we all just die and go on to heaven. But God has called us here to populate the earth, to be, if you will, reproducers of what we have received. How many of you have received Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life? Well, the great commandment of the church is to go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so my motivation is I'm glad God saved me. I'm glad that I am not, whenever this life is over, whenever it is, and no one knows because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. But I know one thing, when this part of my life is over, I'm going to wake up in the arms of Jesus. I don't fear death. How about you? And because of that, then it motivates me to tell others about the Lord. And when if you don't have a motivation to win souls, he that winneth souls, Proverbs tells us, is wise. And it what? It takes wisdom to win people to the Lord. Why? Because only the Holy Spirit can draw somebody to God. But it's up to you and I to be planters of seed. So the Word of God is seed. The Word of God is an incorruptible seed. And the Bible says, and we'll look at this just a minute in another version, but when we plant our seed in good soil, then we can expect 30, 60, 100-fold. That's 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. Now, Jesus, we use the scripture in Matthew, where on his crucifixion, the Bible says, he was planted in the ground just like a grain of wheat. Or a grain of corn has to go in the ground. The analogy there. And it sprouted up, okay? And it produced, if you will, a harvest. We're part of that harvest. Did you know that? We're part of the price, or if you will, the seed that God planted in the earth. We're part of that harvest as the people of God. Okay. So there has to be that motivation, because if there's not that motivation, then there's no understanding. Why do we need a place like this to worship God? Why do we need things in here to make our building look excellent? Why do we need TV cameras, or why do we need to be on the internet? It's about the Word. It's about getting out to people. We can't fit everybody in here if everybody came. Amen. But you know, it has to be a motivation there. We want to see people come to the Lord. We want to feed them the very same Word that turned us on to God. The things that we get excited about in the Lord, and we know that will work because the Word of God is true. And whatever God has said in His Word, we know that His Word works. Amen. But we've got to work the Word. So we get all these great benefits. We get all these great blessings. We know how to tackle everything the enemy does. Every time he throws a dart at us, we know how to quench it in Jesus' name. But do you realize there's people out there that don't know how to do that? There's people out there that just take whatever comes along in their life. They let the devil get in their marriage. They let the devil get in their finances. They let the devil get into their health. And they're broken down, beat down, cowered down, depressed, oppressed. I'm not talking about Christians now. I'm talking about people that don't know how to fight the enemy called the devil. But see, we've got a revelation that there's really a God. There's really a Savior of mankind. It's not Mohammed. Now, I don't want to get to preaching on you, but it's not, it's not Buddha. It's not some statue on the wall. It's the living Christ. Amen. It's the anointed one of God. And that anointing, the Bible says, abides in you and I. So, see, our eyes have been opened. We come to church on Wednesday night. while everybody else is watching the world burn. I mean, the world turn or whatever. See, we're coming in here. We're coming in here because we want more. We're what you call fanatics. We're people that, you know, you go to church on Wednesday? Yeah, I go to church on Wednesday. Why? Because I can't get enough of the Word. I can't get enough of God. Amen. Well, don't you think there ought to be a motivation there to be the best example, the best witness, the best disciple of God in the earth? Don't you want people, don't you want your family that are not saved, your friends and your co-workers, when they look at your life, they see something that they envy or they want? I'm not talking about your car. I'm not talking about whatever you can buy with money. I'm talking about making sure that your life is a epistle or something that people can see, that when things come at you, you don't fall apart. Because it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Who in here has never had a problem? Who in here has never had a life-threatening situation? Who in here has never, you know, faced any trouble in their life? No, we face it just like the world does. That's why he said it rains on the just and the unjust. But you know what? We know how to overcome. We know we can't overcome without faith. And our faith has to be in the Word of God. So there has to be something when we're learning about the harvest. Why do we want to increase? Why do we want to have in our possession the ability to do whatever we need to do to propagate or to get the Word of God out? Whatever it is. Do you think God would tell us to do something? He knows it takes money. Right? He knows they don't give this stuff away. But God can cause men to give into our bosom. Right? So there has to be the motivation. And that's why I'm just teaching you these things. And we have to learn that there's qualities of our harvest. Now, I give you Sunday, I started talking about five qualities of a successful harvester. The first one, of course, is it all starts with being faithful with our tithe. Remember the first one? And most of you have heard that one, okay? The first two that I gave you, probably you're very familiar with. It's the last three, and especially the last one, the fifth one, that, you know, I had to even swallow hard and take a look and really get into what God was saying in order to understand the fifth one. But I know this, it starts with us, if we're going to connect to the covenant of God's prosperity for our life, talking about the financial side, it's going to start by us being faithful with the tithe. And the tithe is holy. It is a sacred thing, okay? And so we learn that if we withhold what is God's, then God cannot release the fullness of his blessing in our life. And then we learn that really, really, we have not given, as far as we're talking again about finances here, we haven't given until we've tithed. Okay? And then, so there has to be a reality there in your life and come to a revelation, understanding that in order to connect to my harvest of finances, to be successful at it, I'm going to have to, first of all, be faithful in my tithe. And then we said the second quality, remember what it is? The second quality is that we have to be Spirit-led. We have to be obedient. And what was the other? Generous, okay? You ought to write these things down or, you know, listen to them over and over because we give you a lot of information here. And sometimes I know I'm guilty of information overload. But you have to listen to something over and over so it can become part of you, remember? Because what you eat is what you become. And so we're eating on the Word of God when we come in here. Now, we'll go eat something later or whatever, but we're eating on the Word of God tonight. And so we have to be led by the Spirit. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Well, it means that we have a relationship with God. That's what all this worship was about tonight. That's why we come to church when other people don't come to church. Because we know in God there is no mistakes. Whatever the Holy Spirit can lead us into, we know it will be accurate and it will be right. Think about when you make your mistake, when you do something and don't make right decisions, it's because you missed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. Can I get a better? All right. So we have to be Spirit-led, and then we have to be what? Obedient. Now, if you're going to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so you can hear His voice, then you're going to have to obey what He says. What does obey mean? It means when He tells you to do something, you do it. Right? So that's pretty simple. And then we have to be generous because, you know, we can't be stingy. The Bible teaches us that we have to not only give, but we have to do it in generosity from our hearts. Now, there's people, you know, and I understand, there are people that don't have, at this particular time or moment in their life, a lot to give. But see, God's looking at our heart because why? It's a matter of our heart. It's what's in our hearts. Are we willing to obey whatever God has said to do? So we talked about that, and if we're going to live in a place of abundance, we've got to be ready to listen to God, obey what God says, not look at circumstances, not look at situations, and we have to have our hearts right because generosity is a matter of a heart. Amen? All right? And so that second quality is to be Spirit-led, obedient, and be a generous sower. Then the third one, and this gets a little bit more into things that you've really got to, think about what I'm saying. You've got to meditate on these things so it can become part of you. The successful harvester, number three, is to know when to reap his harvest. Now, what does that mean? Look at the scripture in John chapter 4, verse 35. John chapter 34. See, we miss a lot when it comes to harvesting our seed. We're not getting the fullness of our blessing because we haven't learned the qualities of being a successful harvester, or the rules, if you will, the principles of being a successful harvester. Now look at this. Jesus knew exactly where all of his harvest was. Remember the scripture we just read in Mark chapter 4? It says, when the grain ripened, the sower put the sickle in. How quick? Immediately. He knew when to gather in the harvest. A good farmer looks out at his crops. That's why I like this Mark chapter 4, because it gives us an analogy that all of us can relate to. Anybody that's ever been on a farm, or anybody that's ever planted something in the ground, anybody that's ever, you know, seen a garden grow, you understand that the seed has to come from God. God's the one that gives us the seed. It's our responsibility to sow or to plant that seed. But it's God's responsibility, what, to cause that seed to grow. We don't know how. We just know that it will. We go to sleep day and night, night and day, but all of a sudden it begins to shoot up. And then it's our responsibility to harvest what that seed produces. Are you with me, church? Okay. So this becomes a very, very important revelation to us that we understand because it's part of our lifestyle. See, worship is not something we just do on Wednesday night and Sunday, is it? No, it's a lifestyle. It's part of our life. Whether we're in the shower in the morning singing to God, or before we go tonight, we're singing our prayers and just saying, thank you, Lord, you know, praise you, Jesus, and just giving God thanks for everything that He's done and everything that He's going to do in our life. Well, the same thing. See, and this is what, let me make one other point, and I started to make this point Sunday about us teaching our children not just to be sowers and givers, but to learn how to be harvesters. But again, you can't teach something you don't know yourself. You can't teach your children the ways of God, and that's the commandment. And that's why I say those commands when we get up here and dedicate children, because again, it's our responsibility as parents, as moms and dads, to teach our children the ways of God. Well, if you wait till you get older, it's harder to learn things. I'm not saying your brain gets worn out. I'm just saying once you learn something, it's difficult to go back and relearn. You take a little child, they can pick up and learn. There was a child on one of those programs that he was like 7 years old and he already spoke six languages. They pick it up like that. You know what I'm talking about? And it's the same thing in the Word of God, because we haven't maybe been brought up in it. Or there's people that's, you know, there's people that's been in this church for years and years and years. And sometimes I listen to what they say. Now, I always listen to what they say, but I mean, I hear what they say. And I think, my goodness, they sat in this church all these years and they didn't hear anything. So it must be possible to sit under a ministry or sit in a place, even a place like this, where we're constantly, say, open your Bible, go to this scripture, look at this, let's read this, having you repeat, and not hear what was said. Amen. Well, I'm saying this to say to you, that sometimes we have to get into the Word of God when the Spirit is moving, because He's showing us something. He's telling us what Jesus already knew by the Spirit. Do you believe Jesus was led by the Spirit? Look at John chapter 4. What did I tell you? John chapter 4, verse 35. That's why I'm just teaching this on Wednesday, so I can just take it slow and easy with you and get into detail here. Look what it says in John chapter. Where did I tell you to go? 4 verse 35. Yeah, there we go. He said, "Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." See, Jesus knew exactly where the harvest was. He knew when to reap the harvest. Why? Because he was full of the Spirit. And he didn't say anything except what the Father told him to say. Well, again, John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of the truth has come," it says, "He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Now, when you develop the Holy Spirit, now listen to this part. See, when you develop a lifestyle where your relationship is with God so strong that you can have a conversation with Him and you not do all the talking, but let Him talk to you some, He can show you things. He can reveal these things to you. Well, if He can reveal to you, now think about this, if He can reveal to you where to sow, where to put your seed, where to put your money, don't you think He can show you where the harvest is? Same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit. Well, again, if you can hear the voice of God say, "Give this." How many of you ever heard God speak to you and say, "Give, give," you know, He can tell you an amount. Like that guy said one time, if you're hearing two amounts, always go with the bigger one. But the point is, to be effective givers, we have to hear the voice of God. Because if we're not, what are we going to do? We're going to give by compulsion. We're going to give by emotion. Hello, somebody. We're going to give out of feeling sorry instead of being led by the Spirit. See, so it all comes back and ties together with us, okay? And one of the indicators, I don't know, I didn't give you all this on Sunday. One of the indicators that you know harvest time is coming is because there's a joy. There's always a joy because the joy is not only that force of that spirit of joy inside of you, but it's also the fruit of anticipation. Knowing that God is ready to do something. He said, now is the time. Get up, get in the field, and go reap your harvest. Well, if we have sown seed, then there are to be a joy in our hearts. In Isaiah, maybe I ought to read this scripture, and we're almost already out of time anyway. Isaiah, but I'm not going to get in a hurry on this, and I'm not going to take for granted you know all this, because as I told you, there's going to be things that you've heard in this that you're going to have to listen to it again with some fresh ears, but there's going to be some things that's going to have to be, you know, get down in your spirit and quicken you. Now look at Isaiah 9:3, and you'll see what it's talking about here when it's talking about the anticipation and the joy. It says, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Now again, it's comparing Israel rejoicing that the Messiah is coming and the Redeemer is going to redeem them. But for us who understand the spiritual side of this is that God will not be mocked. Whatever a man has sowed, he's going to reap. Are you with me? So you sow in joy, you wait in joy, and you reap in joy. Right? That's why it says that you got to be a cheerful giver. Remember? God loves what kind of giver? The cheerful. See, the cheerfulness comes out of the joy of giving. Now, you can always test yourself. If you're not having joy in your giving, then it's a good indicator, see, that you're lacking in an area of faith in that realm. Because when there's no joy, a good indicator of not being in faith is there's no joy. Because joy is a force produced by faith. See, you've got to be a giver by faith, just like you've got to understand how that relationship with the Holy Spirit so He can tell you when to reap the harvest that you've sown. Now, in Galatians 6:9, you know this scripture, but again, look at it one more time because it's really talking about seed, time, and harvest. We read the scripture. I mean, remember, as long as the earth remains, what? Seed, time, and harvest. But listen to how I'm saying. I'm saying it slow on purpose. Seed, time, harvest. Seed, plant our seed, time has to go by, and then harvest. You don't plant the seed, and the next day there's the harvest. Now what happens is that we plant our seed, and then we have opportunity to get discouraged because we don't see our harvest. So what do we do from the time that we plant until the manifestation of the harvest? We have what we call time, or what we would say as patience. And let me know, it's going to take faith and patience to receive the promise of God. And God has promised us an inheritance, okay? So there's a time element for your harvest. So you have to have a confession. What should my confession be? The word, the seed is working for me. Remember I had you say, money cometh easily and frequently. How many of you are still saying that? You ought to say it at least 4 or 5 times a day. Every time I rip my desk calendar off, I write it back down on my calendar. Money cometh easily and frequently. My confession is money cometh easily and frequently. Don't look at me like a dog in a new bowl. I'm talking about confessing, see, an anticipation, a joy. The world don't understand what we're talking about. They think you're just after money. We're not after just money. We're motivated by doing more for the kingdom of God. That's why God wants to show you where your harvest is. Amen. Don't you know God wants some of you to grow up and become Albert Einsteins or Thomas Edisons or Bill Gates. Don't you know that God wants to give you some witty inventions? Come on. Don't you know God wants to show you where to invest so that you can make money, not just for yourself, but for the kingdom of God? See, let's don't let the religious crowd rob us and get our thinking off in those areas like, well, oh, it's just more holy to be poor and I don't expect to get anything back. That's hogwash. Are you with me? Okay. So let me read it out. You read it there out of the King James. Let me read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Now, that's what the New Living Translation says, okay? So I know when to harvest. It's something that I can know. Did you hear what I just said? It's something that I can know. It shouldn't be a foreign concept. But yet we've missed that part because we have sown, we have given, but we really haven't understand the concept of, okay, the harvest. Well, the successful harvester will know where to reap. Okay? They will know where. Jesus needed something for his ministry. You can go look at the scripture, because we're out of time, but Luke chapter 5, Jesus needed a boat for his ministry. And Peter, by trade, was in the fishing business. They were fishermen, were they not? The Bible tells us they were. Peter, James, and John. And they had been out there all night, and they had come in, and they were cleaning up their equipment, cleaning up their boat. They weren't out just for a leisurely night of fishing. They were out there working to feed their family. And the Bible says they caught nothing. Remember that story? Nothing. And Jesus asked to use Peter's boat. Now, Peter could have said no. Peter didn't realize he was planting a seed into the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus got up there and he preached. See how the harvest is connected to souls? He used what Peter gave him to preach the gospel. And then when he got through, he said, let's launch out into the deep. And what did Peter say? He said, well, you know, but he heard Jesus preach. Now, Jesus was a professional fisherman, but he heard Jesus preach the word. And so he said, well, nevertheless, at your word, we'll do what you say. And what happened? The Bible says that they threw out their nets. Go read it. Nets, N-E-T-S, plural, more than one. God's got more than one blessing for you. But sometimes we just get our little faith basket and we say, that's all we can carry, so that's all God's got. He multiplies the seed and sown. The Bible says they got a boatload, sinking load of fish, amen? And then they call the partners out, and they got boatloads of fish from their nets. Nets, nets. And it so astonished Peter, James, and John. They left the business and went into full-time ministry and started following Jesus. Gave the business to the Father and whatever and said, hey, y'all take that. We're following this man of God. Yeah, wow. So, not only do we know where it is, we know when to harvest, okay? And then let me just give you this in closing, the last one. A successful harvester, and this is the one I struggle with, but the Lord really showed me some things with it. A successful harvester reaps all, say it all of his harvest. Now, let me give you a little assignment here. See, some of you have never thought of this concept. But I want you to think about how much have you sown in the past year? What have you, look, you gave your tithe. You did tithe, didn't you? Okay. The seed is what is sown above the tithe. How many of you know how much you have given above your tithe? I mean, you don't have to raise your hands, but I'm just saying, you probably don't think of that. There's a problem. Because the harvest doesn't come automatically. Remember, there is a devourer. The devourer is the seed eater. So the tithe protects your seed from the devourer. But he said in Mark's Gospel chapter 4, it says this, and I'll read it to you out of the Message translation. It says, some fell on good ground and came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. That's how the Message translation. Keeping up with what you have sown into the kingdom, how much have you sown in the last month, say, or 2 months, or since the first of the year, above your tithe? Do you realize, according to the Word, you have scriptural basis to stand expecting a harvest from all of the seed that you have sown? Are y'all listening to this? Okay, this is why it's important. And we'll pick this up Sunday. How much faith do we have about our harvest? You don't harvest according to what you have sown. You don't harvest according to what you want. You don't harvest according to what you desire. You don't even harvest according to the harvest. You harvest or you reap according to your faith. If you don't even know how much seed you have planted, how can you have faith for your harvest? Now, you know what will build your faith? Do you know what will build your faith? Say you've given $1,000 above your tithe since the first of the year in seed. And your faith level may not be all the way up there, but just multiply 30 times 1,000. Now, that ought to do something for you. That ought to get, woo! That's my harvest. More faith you can release. You can go up 60, 100. What's 100 times $1,000? Well, see how the devil wants us just to stay stupid? Don't you understand, beloved? You have a harvest out there. Let's develop faith and go get it. Let's get our harvest. Praise God. Come on, stand up with me. My wife said I got to learn to stop better. Praise the Lord.